Welcome to Wham Bam Tram. Are you feeling the seasonal goodwill yet? It's just 7 sleeps until Christmas. I don't usually get excited about Christmas, but next week we'll be meeting Her Majesty the Queen for a Wham Bam Tram Christmas message. Very exciting. And we've got royalty on board this week too. He's very modest, he won't like me saying this, but it's the king of road safety, Julian Kwong. He's a road safety expert, he's an advisor to the UN. We'll be talking about the new UN Global Decade of Action on Road Safety, aiming to cut road deaths by 50%. First up, Catherine Davis has a letter from the islands.
I'm Catherine Davies, here with Letter from the Islands. Today's letter comes from Dr. Miriam Pierce, who is a sustainability strategist who claims to love riding bikes, and he's also an island resident. Miriam writes, "For the 14 years I have lived in Hong Kong, I have wondered why bicycles, tricycles, and quad cycles are only legally allowed to carry one person, the driver, except for children under 3 years. In rural villages like Mui Wo, bicycles are an effective way to move around for the whole family, especially along the narrow paths. It's a shame that the rider of a tricycle is not allowed to carry someone with a broken leg or even an elderly person who finds the walk too far. I wonder how many of the tricycle and quad cycle hire shops around Hong Kong tell the renters that the bike is legally only allowed to carry one person. I wonder if the Hong Kong government is seriously considering changing these laws to allow such a wonderful low-carbon transport option as bicycles and tricycles to be allowed to carry passengers. The law could simply be that the maximum number of people allowed on pedal power transport be the same as the number of wheels. There are other likely unknown laws regarding bicycles. Did you know that where designated bicycle paths are available, you may not ride the road alongside? How frustrating for road cyclists, as many of the designated cycle paths regularly have pedestrian crossings that say cyclists must dismount to cross the pedestrian crossing. To learn about other interesting and possibly frustrating cycling laws in Hong Kong, I encourage listeners to check out Hong Kong Cycling Alliance website. That was a letter from Dr. Miriam Pierce, who is a cycling enthusiast and sustainability strategist. I really agree with what Miriam wrote, and I have an elderly friend who unexpectedly became ill and immobile this year, and she lives in an apartment that only has access with small paths. There's no way for her to go shopping or go to the hospital unless somebody takes her on a tricycle right now. So I really hope these laws could be updated to be more practical and reasonable for those that have a genuine need to use tricycles and quad cycles. I'm Catherine Davies with A Letter from the Island.
Thanks, Catherine, and we'll be catching up with Catherine for our Christmas episode too. Looking forward to that. Okay, Julian Kwong is in the studio. Let's go talk road safety. So, welcome, Julian. Now, we saw you over the summer. We were talking about speed and Hong Kong. And now we're here because there's a new UN resolution and a new campaign on road safety. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, good morning. The UN recognizes that road safety is a very serious problem throughout the world, resulting in 1.3 million people killed every year, and so they are trying to set up a more ambitious target, and that is over the next 10 years to halve road fatalities and injuries.
Now, you said it's the second decade plan. I understand in September 2020 the UN adopted a resolution and it found that its first decade it had a similar target to reduce road deaths by 50%. But it hadn't really reached that over the decade. So what do you think will be different about this second decade?
Yeah, that's true. They tried to achieve a very ambitious target in the past decade, but actually it didn't turn out. It only managed to keep the number of fatalities more or less at the same level. So this second decade will be different. It's more, even more aggressive, and they called for a new path to achieve road safety, that is to adopt an integrated safe system approach and putting road safety into the core of sustainable development.
Yeah, now that's what I found very interesting. Road safety is one of the sustainable development goals. Now, a lot of people talk about these goals, the SDGs, in terms of climate change or clean water or human rights, but perhaps not many people know that road safety is part of that. So how does road safety and sustainable development tie together?
Road safety has not been given the adequate attention, I mean, in the society for a number of reasons. One reason is that people consider it the side effect of the mobility. So we accept that. We accept that people take responsibility for their actions. So if something happened, then they take responsibility and transport has to run as usual. But the problem is that we have not actually looked seriously into the impact of road crashes on the healthcare system, on individuals, on families. Economically, it is eating up a fair percentage of GDP in some the countries undergoing development. In Hong Kong, we are in a better position, but still even one crash, one fatality has a lot of impact. It's a kind of a hidden misery.
Yes, and it seems to be pretty comprehensive in that they're now calling for road safety to be integrated into many different policy agendas. So it's not just a separate thing floating around. I mean, you talk about the hidden misery, and one thing the UN said, which I found very interesting, was the problem of equity, and that it's the more vulnerable people that are the victims of this. I mean, road deaths is the leading killer of children and young people globally, and it's generally the vulnerable that are impacted.
I think the equity problem, yes, is in road safety, it's important. We have not talked a lot about it, but realistically, we need to understand that, say, elderly people, I mean, they account for a high percentage of fatalities as pedestrians.
In Hong Kong?
In Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And also people having to work on the street, say, cleaning the street or pushing a cart, and they are at disproportionately a high risk than, say, an owner of a car. I mean, modern cars, the best cars, and which is, well-designed to protect the occupants. And for most people in Hong Kong, we have to use public transport, and to use the road transport, buses or minibuses. And so in buses, for example, elderly people and more vulnerable people, they are susceptible, say, to losing balance in a bus, I mean, falling down, and that happens quite frequently. I mean, more than 1,000 cases, reaching 2,000 cases per year. And we have to look at these problems. And I think there are a lot of issues like this which we need to explore.
Mm. Now, it's a very interesting figures you just gave us there, that nearly 2,000 elderly are injured in buses every year. That's what, that must be around 10% of all injuries almost.
Yeah, a few years ago, I mean, the data shows that around 2,000 people, I mean, not only elderly,
right,
needing to be treated because they lost balance in public transport.
Right.
And of course, not all of them can be grouped as serious injuries. We need to look at this problem. Not to say that we presume that this problem does not exist.
Yeah.
For the decade of action for road safety, we need to look at ways, I mean, to reduce the number of fatalities and injuries to 50% of the level of 2021. I mean, that is the target of the decade.
Yeah.
And we need to understand how the injuries happened, and then to look at ways where we can achieve this target. And so people losing balance in public transport is one, but of course, pedestrian getting killed or seriously injured is the most important. There are other issues, for example, those including cyclists, and there are issues regarding heavy vehicles, goods vehicles, and there are problems with road works. And so in order to achieve this target, we need to understand where people that are injured or killed, and then to formulate a realistic strategy.
Yeah. So is this sort of the systems approach that the UN's talking about? Because I think this plan is quite comprehensive. It's not just looking at one area.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The system approach concerns the interaction of the human vehicle and also the road infrastructure. We need to look at it in a systematic way. The safe system approach has the core value that human life is precious. We need to allow for people to make mistakes in the transport system without causing fatalities or serious injuries. And that means the road transport system has to be forgiving. We need to incorporate these criteria into the design and operation so that a single mistake shouldn't result in fatalities or serious injuries.
Yeah, very interesting. But then, so how far does that go? I mean, we don't want to start making the system so forgiving that drivers can drive along staring at their phones, drunk, and, you know, there's no problem. You know, how far does that forgiveness go, and how far do we actually need to stop certain behaviours?
I think forgiving doesn't mean that we are trying to promote dangerous behaviour. It's not like this. Concurrently, we encourage safe behaviour. I mean, people taking care, having a duty of care for other people. But at the same time, we know that mistakes are unavoidable, even though you may be very careful already. And I think the idea is that we do not want mistakes, and then especially simple mistakes, to result in fatalities and injuries. And as you can see, I mean, this concept is actually central to the design of industrial products. I mean, products are designed to be fail-safe. If you have a fatality or serious injuries just due to a single mistake or a common mistake, then that product cannot actually pass the required standards. And that is fundamental. And the road transport system is a kind of product. Is provided by the government and also provided by operators, and we are supposed to use them, and we have the responsibility to use them carefully. But similarly, I think that product should be intrinsically safe, fail safe as far as practicable.
Yeah. Any examples of that exactly?
I would like to say, for example, for pedestrian fatalities, our roads are too dangerous. I mean, a single mistake when crossing the road, using some of the crossings, and if a pedestrian failed to see a vehicle coming for one reason or the other, we don't know, there are many reasons, then because of the speed of the vehicles, then it can kill. It's not forgiving. To be forgiving, I mean, speed management is very important, because we know that human being cannot sustain impact forces above 30 to 40 kilometers per hour, even by a car. Another issue is about the visibility of heavy vehicles. We know that heavy vehicles, big lorries, the drivers have a very poor visibility. They have a lot of blind spots, and then a single mistake, say a pedestrian just walking in front of their heavy vehicles, I mean, that can lead to fatalities. But now we know that there are technologies and also new designs of lorries which can prevent these mishaps.
So how do you think the UN work will be incorporated into Hong Kong, or do you think the Hong Kong government will be taking notice of this?
As far as I can see, not at the moment. I mean, since the year 2000s, we have what we call the zero accidents, Hong Kong's goal.
Yeah.
But the difference from an integrated safe system approach is that zero accidents is empty unless we have solid strategies with a target, say we look for at least 50% of reduction of fatalities. Mm-hmm. And also that needs to be evidence-based. We need to have adequate scientific data and also to drive our strategies and measures. So although Hong Kong admittedly in the past 10 to 20 years, I mean, the fatalities and serious injuries have been dropping. I mean, it's a good trend. But still, I think we have every obligation to push our strategy to the limit. So the UN Decade of Action for Road Safety is a very good opportunity for us to make a new start. I mean, based on previous experience and how far more we can achieve.
Do we need to disband the Road Safety Council, do you think?
I would say that the Road Safety Council has the duty. I mean, they have the duty to lead the advances in road safety in Hong Kong. But in order to be able to achieve this their role, I think they need to have some kind of reform. At the moment, I would say that the way we are doing things is a kind of old-fashioned way. I mean, education, sometimes they are not evidence-based, and somehow we are trying to let people interpret road safety as a simple issue, and then and I would also like to say that Road Safety Council needs to be far more aggressive. I mean, the way forward is safe system approach. Mm. In Hong Kong, we have not been adopting that, and also I would say that the Road Safety Council is not representative enough. It's basically either government officials or government professionals or people invited by government. Mm. I mean, there must be many more experts, both in Hong Kong and overseas, which they can recruit and to help them. And they need to open up their mind on that.
Yeah. Okay, and talking about data, I mean, you're a professional. So, I mean, I, as a sort of layman, I have access to transport department data and police data, and I find it quite frustrating trying to find out trends because the data is very limited. Yes. I mean, as a professional, do you have a data set that perhaps a layman doesn't have access to?
Well, in Hong Kong, we are not in lack of data, but access to the data is the problem. Mm. In order to understand road safety and the risk factors, we really need to be able to access the data. I mean, the data from the police, one of the data set, I mean, is the data set from transport department containing the attributes for every injury collision. Mm. But then there are actually more data. I mean, data with the hospital authority about the injuries, data from the Department of Health on fatal cases, and also more importantly is the detailed accident investigation report from the police. We, in order to be able to formulate evidence-based solutions, we really need to study the detailed investigation reports, and often these reports are not made available and difficult to access. So without access to this data, and also a culture of research and publication, it's very difficult to advance, because often we do not know the real factors contributing to road safety, and in turn we cannot formulate effective solutions which is scientifically based.
Now, in terms of data, you have a new toy, as it were, the speed detector. I think you have two of those now, right? Which you use yourself. So, I mean, what will you actually be doing with that?
Speed management is central to road safety. But unfortunately, in Hong Kong, we do not have the public data about the actual speed practiced by drivers on our street. The potential for injuries is very sensitive to speed. And without understanding the actual speed vehicles are going at, so we cannot formulate an effective solution. Particularly, we have been advocating for traffic calming and also speed limit, lower speed limit, that is 30 kilometers per hour or 40 kilometers per hour. And we need to be able to demonstrate to government and stakeholders the current problem.
So if you're driving and you see Julian standing there with a speed detector, don't worry, you're not going to get a speeding ticket, but you might end up on a spreadsheet somewhere.
Actually, don't worry. Oh. In the modern speed gun,
yeah.
Now it just looks like it's just a small device.
Julian, been a pleasure talking to you, and let's hope for some success in adapting these UN ambitions to Hong Kong. Thanks, Julian. We really do need a shake-up. You know, I went on Radio 3 Backchat recently and said the police need to do more. A listener wrote in and said, "Well, James, don't you know, the police are understaffed. How can you make such a suggestion? Where will all the officers come from?" Well, I don't know. That's not my problem. That sounds like a police problem. But if we haven't got enough police to do enforcement, perhaps they can turn up the recruitment a bit. Okay, next week. It's Christmas. We're having a special spooky visit from the Ghost of Christmas Transit Future. We've got all our friends back in to tell us their Christmas wishes, and we've got Her Majesty the Queen, no joke, she'll be here in the studio just as soon as she gets out of quarantine, giving Hong Kong a very special Christmas message. Don't miss it. See you soon.